Sputnik Radio, the current name for the Voice of Russia, available online at rt.com. One of my goals in producing this show is to encourage people like you to listen to international broadcasts, get a global perspective. You could use a shortwave radio at home. It's simpler than you might think. However, if you use the internet, listening globally is even easier. See the links at this program's website. Every Thursday evening, I post a new shortwave report at the website for this show. That's www.outfarpress.com. At my website, you can listen to past shows, find internet links for international broadcasters. Please consider making a safe donation online through PayPal. There's a link at my website, along with a podcast link, and get advice for listening at home. The Shortwave Report, which is now in its 22nd year of production, remains free to rebroadcast upon notification. The Shortwave Report is produced and distributed off the electrical grid in Northern California using solar panels. I'm your host and producer, Dan Roberts. Thanks for listening.
What's up, y'all? This is Sean Ardoin on WGXC Radio, hands-on radio, all the way from Louisiana. I'm coming to you in your ear grease, baby. Lock it in.
On Silent Night Hudson 2018, in partnership with Wave Farm, Phil Klein's On Silent Night returns to Hudson for a third year. Led by Phil Klein himself, participants gather at WGXC's Hudson Studio, 169 Warren Street, inside the First Presbyterian Church of Hudson at Warren and 4th Streets, entrance on 4th Street. Participants bring a radio along to become part of the moving orchestra of sounds that engages Hudson's lesser-traveled alleys and enclaves. All are invited to participate. To do so, arrive to the WGXC Hudson Studio, First Presbyterian Church, no later than 6:45 p.m. with a boombox or smartphone with external speakers. Go to unsilentnight.com/participate for more details. Unsilent Night, an original composition by Phil Klein, written specifically to be heard outdoors in the month of December. Each participant gets one of four tracks of music. Together, all four tracks comprise Unsilent Night. Visit unsilentnight.com for more information.
WGXC underwriting support is provided by Mid-Hudson Cable, serving Columbia, Greene, and Southern Albany counties with digital cable, high-speed internet, and cable phone services for homes and businesses since 1971. Mid-Hudson Cable, all the right connections on the web at mhcable.com.
We interrupt this broadcast to bring you a special news bulletin.
Stay tuned to this station.
Stand by for news.
Direct via satellite from our on-the-spot task force.
Good evening from our newsroom in New York.
This is
Daily News and Weather Report.
We take you now to
this radio broadcast.
You are tuned in to All Together Now, a collaborative one-hour news show for community radio stations in the Capital Region and New York's Hudson Valley. All Together Now features contributions from the public, along with programmers at WOOC in Troy and WGXC in Accra, featuring local and regional news, weather updates, and newsmaker interviews.
From the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. I'm Philip Grant. Sarah Tapton is reporting for Columbia Green Media. Some Greene County officials are questioning how funding for its Stop DWI program is used, despite passage of the program's 2019 budget on December 5th. The projected appropriation for Stop DWI next year is $156,465 and is exclusively funded by the fines paid by drivers cited for impaired driving. While the majority of the Greene County Legislature Public Safety Committee voted yes on the spending plan, legislators Adrian O'Connor Jr., Democrat of Durham, and Lori Torgensen, Democrat of Windham, voting against the measure, citing a lack of transparency around the decision to pay an additional stipend to Greene County Sheriff Greg Seeley on top of his annual salary out of program funds. They also took issue with the Stop DWI program's failure to explore possible alternatives to incarceration. Seeley's base salary has been increased to $75,000. He now also receives $23,400 as the Stop DWI coordinator. O'Connor said, and I quote, "He's getting a stipend in addition to his stipend as sheriff. This should not be the case. When his salary was increased to $75,000, they never reconsidered the DWI amount," end quote. Seeley says the program is a very worthy one. He said, and I quote, "It provides our local police departments with DWI patrols, funds for probation, education in schools," end quote. Committee Chair William Lawrence, a Republican who represents Cairo, said he expects the issue to be revisited next year. Read the full story at HudsonValley360.com. Paul Nelson is reporting for the Times Union. Hackers were recently thwarted in an effort to steal $4 million from Schenectady County. The alleged thieves broke into the county's computer system and remained there before making a recent attempt to transfer the cash electronically, according to unidentified individuals who said they were not authorized to publicly discuss the situation. The matter is under investigation by cybersecurity experts and state and federal authorities. It was unclear if the hackers tried to grab the money all at once or in smaller amounts during multiple transactions. Last week, the county announced that its computer system at the main county building, the court office, and sheriff's office had all been compromised, and this week, Chris Gardner, the county attorney, stressed that though the computer system had been compromised, the county did not take a hit financially. Read the full story in the Times Union. Patricia Doxey is reporting for the Daily Freeman. Ulster County Executive Michael Hine, December 19th, vowed to explore, and I quote, "all available alternatives," end quote, including potential legal action after the county legislature overrode his veto of a bill that would have put a term limit referendum on the ballot in November 2019. Hine said he vetoed the original resolution because the measure violates state law. He said, and I quote, "As both county executive and as an American, my oath of office is sacred to me, and I must make certain that the actions of Ulster County government are consistent with New York state law," end quote. Hine said he has urged legislators to introduce new legislation in line with state law, which he said requires elected officials, not the voters, to enact term limits. The 16-5 vote December 18th marked the first time since the county moved to the executive form of government in 2009 that the legislature voted to override an executive veto. Ulster's proposed term limit legislation was panned by the League of Women Voters and others who said term limits take away voters' rights and are anti-good government. Supporters hold that term limits will prevent elected officials from amassing too much power and will make it possible for new people with new ideas to get elected. Read the full story in the Daily Freeman. And that wraps up the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. For local weather reports, public meetings, and other community information, use the WGXC website, WGXC.org. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Graham. Have a good day. And a pleasant tomorrow. Next, we have these reports.
Here we
are. In the studio right now, we have Brenda Schufelt and Johnny Craig, both representing the History Room at the Hudson Area Library.
Never been more pleased to be here.
Is that true?
It's true.
Okay.
Well, we're. Are you pleased to be here? We've all been to so many wonderful programs at the Hudson Area Library since it's moved into a place where, you know, there really is room there for people to hold programs like the ones that have been heard and seen there. You keep calling him Johnny, or is it John E. Craig?
What do you prefer, Johnny or John E.?
There is no E.
There is no
Johnny
E.
is often heard.
And I didn't know you were called Johnny. When did that start?
Those who have known me or hold me dearly call me Johnny.
Oh, yeah. I wasn't.
I guess I'm one of those. No, Alan, you're not. Sorry.
Oh, dear.
No one calls him Johnny at the library. No,
oh, excuse don't. Me. Mr. Craig, how about that?
That sounds better.
Okay. Mr. Craig and Mrs. Schulfeld.
Thank you.
Oh, no wonder I had to take off those earrings. They look like spikes.
They're
Christmas.
Sure it is.
Right, Ellen?
Yes.
Don't we always have fun?
Yes, we do.
It is always fun to listen to.
I happen to know that Mr. Craig is a listener of the show, Ellen.
I didn't know. That means that we have 98 listeners, we think, now.
We're getting up there slowly. Wait a second, Brenda. How are you listening? Aren't you supposed to be working at the library?
Sometimes I leave at 4, and I just to hear your show on the way home.
Yeah. Cool, in the car. That's what we are.
Someone told me they couldn't get out of their car when they were listening to us because we were so wonderful.
Oh, come on. Come on, who? Come on.
No, come on. I'm not going to say.
Young?
No. Not that scandalous.
One of your BFFs?
Oh, sort of. Now that she adores this program.
What were we talking about? I don't know?
No.
How are we going to do any like focus groups and stuff like that if we don't know what we were talking about?
Oh, we're so off subject here today.
What was the subject? I didn't even know we had a subject. I thought we just had some people wandering in, lovers of the show.
Well, they were invited to be here.
Oh, sorry. I didn't know that. Did you invite them out? Because I sure as hell didn't.
Yes, I did. And they're on your program.
Oh, on my program? You mean my schedule? That you hand me every week that I never read? I've written all over it.
I produce the schedule every week.
Oh, yes. Here it just says John Craig.
No one pays attention.
Brenda Shufeldt, Program Director at the Hudson Area Library, and John Craig, a member of the History Room Committee. So I guess we're going to be talking about the History Room. There must be stuff happening there.
Yes, there's lots of stuff happening, not only at the History Room, mm-hmm. but also off-site at our holiday pop-up shop.
Can you still get in there?
You cannot get in there, but you can see.
Oh, that's a great.
You can look in the window.
You can look in the window, okay.
No, but seriously, you can see the beautiful historic photographs from Hudson, and we have a lot of photographs in our collection at the History Room. But we actually chose to use the photographs of Howard Gibson, mm-hmm. which, because he had so many of Santa Claus as he comes into town over the years. So I think it was 1961 they really splurged for a helicopter to land.
Whoa. Who's they? The city?
The city.
The city paid for a helicopter for Santa Claus?
For Santa Claus.
Wow.
Unless Santa got his own helicopter. I don't know. I can't.
You
know,
okay, we're going really for that next year.
Yeah, well, you know.
I spoke with the mayor, but he was... Not really that hopeful.
Where did it land?
The Grand Union parking lot, which John knows where it is from his research.
Where is that currently, John?
It's the mental health building, just up from the new police station.
Really? Yeah.
That was the Grand Union, the new Grand Union.
Was that converted to the mental health building, or did they tear it down and build a new building?
I'm not sure. I think they converted it.
Okay, wow.
I don't know that for sure.
He's not sure, but he's going to let us know after grueling months of research.
I will look that up.
John is known for researching a lot of the local landmarks, and one of his long-term projects, I believe you have a project about baseball stadiums? No.
Baseball fields?
Theaters?
The long-awaited history of the Hudson movie theaters.
Just Hudson, not the Hudson Valley.
Hudson.
And the baseball fields are?
Hudson.
Is this like multiple volumes or just one book combining all that?
Those are two different things.
Yeah.
There's a whole other volume on the world across the Ferry Street Bridge, provoked by a simple question from a friend.
Mm-hmm.
My grandfather had a bar across the Ferry Street Bridge. Could I find the name? I didn't know where the Ferry Street Bridge was.
Was this Peter Chipkowski who asked you this?
No.
I thought his grandfather. Oh, no. Go ahead.
His grandfather had the market.
Market, right.
Chippies.
Right.
This was a friend whose grandfather, Eddie West, had a bar. I never found the name, but I found there was a world across the Ferry Street Bridge that nobody would ever imagine. It was that was about a 3 or 4 year history.
Uh-huh.
That's another... 3-inch mm-hmm. volume.
And the Ferry Street Bridge was where the railroad bridge that is disabled at the moment.
It was
the same route.
They built the railroad through in 1853-54 and put a bridge on it. And then the bridge there now was built in, I think, 1904.
So where does the Ferry Street Bridge end up when it's on the other side of the Hudson?
It doesn't.
Oh, it doesn't.
Well,
doesn't
it goes down to where the ferry boat was. Even before the New England people arrived here, there was a ferry there.
Oh, I see.
Across to Athens, which was called Lansingburg or something.
Lansingburg.
Mm-hmm. And
that's a questionable
very
name.
Ran until 1949.
Oh. It was revived for the movie of, what was that, War of the Worlds,
yes,
with Tom Cruise.
And the last industrial buildings over the Ferry Street Bridge were torn down in 1973. Not urban renewal, but the boat launch.
Yeah.
On the up above the old ferry slip by the state project.
You know, the thing is that people love finding out about all that history. Mm-hmm. I mean, they just love local history a lot.
So if they come to the history room, who helps them find this stuff?
So
well, on Saturday mornings, I am usually there with our great recently added volunteer, Jim Hoon.
Oh, I know, yes.
Wonderful fellow who absorbs local history voluminously. And we get in there and the door opens and somebody walks in with a question about a house they just bought, or they're looking for their grandfather, or they're looking for their family and where they lived 80 or 100 years ago. And we have a lot of resources that we can quickly figure out where people lived and what they did.
So you have indexes to a lot of the streets and numbers of the houses and that kind of thing?
We have a great collection of the Hudson City directories back to the first volume in 1851.
Do other cities do directories like that? I mean, is
I'm sure they did.
Yeah, major city, yeah.
This was a company. I'm sure they did volumes for many, many municipal.
And it's sort of businesses and...
Businesses, residences.
Taxpayers, I suppose.
Residences and businesses. And often it will tell you where the man of the house is employed and is his position.
We need that now. how about it, John? Why don't you start a directory?
Actually, we still get the Hudson City Directory yearly. It's quite expensive. I think they're called the Polk City Directories.
Yes, it's Polk.
But,
that's right.
Yeah, is the publisher.
Oh, but really? we're still doing them.
And I think it's mostly a business directory right now. Mm-hmm. But as John said, in 1851 and for many years after that, it listed every resident of Hudson, their address, and what they did for a living. So it's actually a font of information, and we've had classes come in. There was a class from Kite's Nest that was studying local industry, and they came in and looked through the directories. And in 1851, there were stove mounters, not just shoe repair people, but shoemakers. Mm-hmm. You know, one of the kids asked me, what's a temperance lecturer? Like, all of those businesses.
What do you mean? I'm still doing that.
Well, we try.
Yeah, I couldn't, you know, it wasn't enough that I stopped drinking. I had to go around and start lecturing people about
That's what everybody does who stops drinking.
Wow. So once you start with the directories, then you can sort of figure out where their house was. And then do you have the photos indexed in any fashion, or you just kind of wing it?
The photos are difficult. So when somebody comes to town and buys a house, they go to the Historic Preservation.
Right. They're supposed to bring photos to back up their...
when they take off the original aluminum siding, the question is what was there and what was historically pertinent to the property, but that's a difficult thing. We have a large collection of photographs, but Mr. Rawls in particular didn't really go around just photographing buildings. He's photographing events. So that's difficult. You have to go fish.
How many major collections have ended up there of photos?
We don't completely know yet. One of the things that we're doing in the next few months, we recently received a grant from DIPSNY, which is Documentary Heritage. I'm going to tell you what it stands for. So, Documentary Heritage Preservation Society of New York. And we received a grant to hire an archivist who's going to be finishing our postcard collection and uploading it to the New York State Archives, so it will be available.
Now, many of us saw a selection of that postcard collection recently at the library. It's fantastic. What were there, about 50 or so, maybe?
Yeah, I think so.
What's the actual the depth of the collection? Go way beyond that?
It's a couple hundred, oh. Yeah. And I think it actually includes that ferry. I think there's one postcard, maybe John will remember. It includes that Ferry Street Bridge where you could see the structure of where the ferry was and the bridge itself. So there's a lot of information. And just to finish, one of the things that this grant is going to give us the money to do is to inventory. So we won't be able to archive the photograph collection when we finish the postcard collection, but we will have enough money to be able to inventory what we have because we don't even completely know what we have. We know a lot of what we have, but people have been very generous in donating items and donating entire collections.
Wow.
And our goal is to get everything online so that people can search.
Right, digitize everything.
And I know that one of John's dreams is to get all of the photographs there and tagged so that...
Do you actually dream of that, John?
He dreams every night of that. So, like, if you're looking for 415 Union or whatever, I don't know if that's an actual address, but if you're looking for a certain address, we'll be able to search it in our database. So,
you know, one of the things I really loved about those postcards is how poorly color inked they were. Well, didn't you notice they're like, they never kind of match up the color to this? You know, it's just really quick kind of inking that kind of.
That's true.
I mean, colorization part of it was kind of funny.
Well, yeah, people like that. That's why they collect them sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I'm Cheryl Kay, and I've hosted the Jazz Disturbance for almost 8 years on Thursday evenings from 7 p.m. to 9:30 p.m. Well. Yep, the Jazz Disturbance is moving to Sundays, the 1st, 2nd, 3rd, and 5th, to be exact, beginning on December 9th. The Jazz Disturbance features jazz and other improvisational music from local, regional, worldwide, and world-class artists and connects listeners with the people and places presenting in the area. Tune in on Sundays beginning December 9th from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. at 90.7 FM, wavefarm.org/WGXC, and via the TuneIn app on your smartphone.
Here are some more headlines from WOOCLP, WGXC's partner station in Troy.
Nearly 100 animals which were rescued from a single home in Troy Tuesday have been accepted by the Hudson Mohawk Humane Society, MNANS. That's great. The animals include a dozen of dogs and cats as well as ferrets, birds. The Hudson Mohawk Humane Society is asking for support from the community to donate to help support their work caring for these animals. Visit mohawkhumane.org to contribute.
The U.S. Commission on Civil Rights has reported that federal funding for Native American tribes is far below the required amount. In a follow-up to the 2003 report, the commission says that funding has remained flat and inadequate to deal with problems like suicide, dropouts, and climate change. The commission chairwoman, Catherine Lehman, stated that the underfunding was a result of disinterest on the part of the U.S. government. In a reversal of previous policy, the commission has also recommended that Native Hawaiians receive the same federal recognition as other tribes. Stacy Bullen of the Sioux St. Marie Tribe of Chippewa Indians stated, "We are sicker, die younger, and suffer longer than any group in the U.S. And why? Because of broken promises. It is long past due to invest in the health of Indian country."
Absolutely. On Wednesday, President Obama was the former President Obama was spotted sporting a red Christmas hat and slung a sack of presents over his shoulder while he walked the halls of the hospital in Washington, D.C. Usually when he entered, the patients' rooms gasped, tears, and contagious smiles would immediately follow. It was one of his first stops he made during several stops as he went locally to different organizations to hand out toys to kids and other organizations that were in need.
Christina Roberts, 30, of Fort Edward, was arrested on Wednesday after police say she stole a woman's purse inside a bank, then showed up on her own at the police station for an unrelated matter. Roberts showed up at the Fort Edward Police Department for a matter police say was unrelated from the alleged robbery earlier that day. Police arrested Roberts without incident and were able to recover the victim's purse.
Tune in to a special Christmas Eve broadcast on WGXE 90.7 FM. All day, Monday, December 24th, hear holiday favorites, strange snowy sounds, bells and whistles, parodies, and more unique holiday music. Tune in live at 5 p.m. for a Christmas Eve service broadcast from the First Presbyterian Church on Warren Street in Hudson. And at the top of the hour all day, hear reports from the North American Aerospace Defense Command of Santa's journey around the globe. Tune in for round-the-clock holiday coverage on Christmas Eve, Monday, December 24th, on WGXE 90.7 FM.
Lucy Lyon, the King of Beasts.
Music from elsewhere and beyond.
Huge elephant trumpet across the plains.
Imaginary soundtracks to unmade foreign films.
And there are rhino, those craggy creatures surviving from a bygone age.
Snack Point Charlie. Hosted by Jeff Economy. Every first Wednesday from 10 p.m. to midnight on WGXC 90.7 FM, WGXC.org.
Hear music and sounds, radio art and melodies every day from 11 a.m. until 4 p.m. on WGXC 90.7 FM. Weekdays, there is all sorts of local talk, interviews with your friends and neighbors, music from down in the valley, previews of local events and more. Weekdays from 4 to 8 p.m. Then stay tuned for WGXC Live at 8 p.m. with live DJs, live events, live broadcasts, and more on the radio at 90.7 FM and WGXC.org.
Turn out, tune in, and ring in the new year, New Year's Eve with WGXC live at the Half Moon in Hudson for WGXC's annual New Year's Eve event, live broadcast, and a fun night at Half Moon in Hudson. The evening gets started with karaoke with Amanda Lees, followed by dancing to the sounds of the band Blueberry. You can go to blueberrylounge.com for information about them. And then DJ Var from WGXC's Friday Night Vibe Session takes over after hours. Your contribution at the door keeps community radio on the air in your area on 90.7 FM. There's food from the Taste of India food truck outside. Tune in, turn out, and ring in the new year at Half Moon in Hudson starting at 8 p.m. Monday, December 31st into Tuesday, January 1st, New Year's Eve with WGXC on the air and at the Half Moon in Hudson.
Nothing wrong with your television set. Do not attempt to adjust the picture. We are controlling transmission. If we wish to make it louder, we will bring up the volume. If we wish to make it softer, we will tune it to a whisper. We will control the horizontal. We will control the vertical. We can roll the image, make it flutter. We can change the focus to a soft blur, or sharpen it to crystal clarity. For the next hour, sit quietly and we will control all that you see and hear. We repeat, there is nothing wrong with your television set. You are about to participate in a great adventure. You are about to experience the awe and mystery which reaches from the inner mind to the outer limits.
This is Echo. You are listening to WGXC Acra, Creative Community Magical Radio.
I'm a rogue!